You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
Well, man, it's great to be here. We were in Brazil for about 10 days. We came home for a day, flew to Iowa, and then we flew out of there this morning at about 6 a.m., and we're so happy to be here with you. We're going to have a great time tonight and then tomorrow night. And anyway, we love your pastors. We've known them for a long time. We appreciate them so much and so happy to see what is going on here. We're delighted to be a part of the celebration and with some of my precious friends for many years as well, Philip and Regina. Listen, we've got a book. I used to call it a book table. There's no books back there. So it's just an impartation table, and we've got some things back there you might enjoy. Anything you get back there will be a blessing to you, but it will also be a blessing to us because it goes back into the ministry. This is called Two Things You Should Know About the Holy Spirit. It's two CDs. Now, we do have everything on our website. If you like to download, you can visit that, blackwaterministries.org. There's a book table, a bookmark back there. Take it. It's free. Put it in your Bible. Pray for us. And it's got our web information. But this is two things you should know about the Holy Spirit. Number one, how to be successfully led by the Spirit. I know you're well taught here, so you know that. But the leading of the Spirit is not always a sentence as much as it is a sense. So we talk about how to follow your divine cues. And then secondly is how to stay filled with the presence of God at all times. How many of you know we're not dating God? We don't pick him up on Sunday morning and drop him off on Sunday night, do we? No, we're married to him. So there's a way that we can walk in the fellowship and communion of the Holy Ghost 24/7. Who wants this? Who would like to have it right there in the... Pass that. Thank you. And then, of course, we've got a DVD back there. I'm out of all the rest of them because they bought them out. But this was called Joy for the Journey. I ministered one evening in our Birmingham crusade with Brother Hagin and just had a real good outpouring. If you ever need to pick me up, put it in the DVD player and have a good time. Who wants this? All right, right here. All right. Praise God. And then my daughter named this one. I sent this out to our friends and partners. The sleeve hadn't come in yet. It's called God Rules, Fear Drools. She's 10 years old. Said, what should I name it? She said, Daddy, name it God Rules, Fear Drools. I said, all right. So I did. Who wants it? I got to go over here, don't I? Who wants it over here? All right, right here. Praise God. And then we've got some great music back there featuring yours truly here on the front row, these guys. This is He'll Do It Again. These things aren't in print anymore, but I make my own sleeves. And so... anyway, it's got some good ballads, good upbeat stuff. If you like to sing with tracks, we've got the tracks to it, too. If you go to, you know, prisons or something like that or nursing homes, who wants it? Right here. All right. I guess I have to kind of spread it out a little bit, all right? Can you hear me out there nice and crisp? All right, praise God. So, you know, when you're in these type of meetings, this is a celebration week, quite naturally, you know, in each of the services, some of the same themes and things will be repeated. That's just what I've experienced, that the Holy Ghost will say the same thing, maybe in a different way. The themes will kind of intertwine and so forth. So, you know, I really haven't had the opportunity to hear or listen, but I'm quite sure that being a part of this conference will just kind of emphasize and re-emphasize different points like that. So we're going to have a good time tonight. If you can come in the morning, though, come in the morning, because I have something I think will be of great interest to you as a member of the body of Christ. If you can't, you can listen to it later, but if you can, come on, and also as a church. So once again, it's a blessing to be with you. You're in the right place at the right time with the right people doing the right thing. Amen. You know, something very dear to the heart of God is the local church. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, you'll remember when Jesus was speaking to Peter. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Ever since he uttered those words, he's been busy establishing his kingdom, building his church, the ecclesia, the elect, those who are called out and separated from the world, separated unto his divine purpose, and empowered to enforce and bring his kingdom and his will into the earth. And a very important aspect of that building project is the local church. Can you say amen? I don't know if you realize it or not. I'm sure you do. But probably one of the most significant decisions you will ever make as a Christian is where you go to church. that one decision will have tremendous impact on your life as a Christian. It will have an impact on your family. And, you know, has a lot to do with your destiny. So where we go to church is very, very important. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18, Paul, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he made this statement. He said, God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. Now notice, it doesn't say as it has pleased us, right? But as it has pleased him. The Moffat translation actually says, we see that God has carefully placed every part of the body right where he wants it. So what that tells me, if this verse is true, if God has placed every member in the body, then where I go to church and where you go to church is not necessarily a matter of personal preference as much as it is a matter of divine appointment and placement. Now, there are several reasons for this. First of all, every sheep needs a shepherd and a sheepfold. This is God's plan. This is his way. So God will place each one of us as a member of the body in a sheepfold or in a local church under the care of a pastor where we can be fed the word of God. We can grow up spiritually. We can be nurtured and protected as a young believer. We can be encouraged and preserved as a mature believer, and also where we can receive the necessary impartations, revelation, spiritual equipment to keep us from the snares of the enemy along our journey, and also put us on the right road to fulfilling our destiny. So, you know, in one sense of the word, where we go to church is very, very, very important. And of course, the local church is where we find our significance as a Christian. Do you follow me? The reality is, the local church is where our individual purposes are discovered within the context of the corporate purpose. None of us were intended to be an entity unto ourselves. If you're a Christian, then your life and my life, your destiny and my destiny, your purpose and my purpose as Christians, they are interconnected in Christ. So the reality is that my significance as a Christian and your significance as a Christian can only be found when I discover how I relate to the body of Christ as a whole. And that discovery primarily takes place, of course, within the context of the local church. That's why we develop relationships here. We encourage one another. We supply one another. Hebrews 10:25, what does the Bible say? It says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, right? But what? Exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And you know this, it's important to meet together. I would never be where I am in my life if it were not for my constant and continual relationship with the local church throughout my life. I was born and I was raised in the local church. I have served in some capacity of the local church my entire life. I was trained in the local church. I met my wife in the local church. Our ministry was launched from the local church. And a large portion of our ministry today is still to the local church. Everybody say, thank God for the local church. So once again, where we go to church is not necessarily a matter of personal preference or choice as much as it is a matter of divine placement and appointment if we're listening. And I said to you, there are several reasons for this. First of all, God knows what you're going to need, and he knows what I'm going to need. In order to run this race successfully, to finish our course, he knows the support network that you're going to need to face the battles of life successfully. And friends, also, he knows where to put us so that our lives intersect with the other people in the body of Christ with whom they need to intersect in order to accomplish divine purposes and also to be a blessing to you personally. I mean, some of the relationships that I have formed and fashioned in the local church have impacted our lives spiritually, naturally, financially. God has a plan, and He knows where to send us to connect all the pieces and where to take us to meet the people we need to meet and form the relationships we need to formulate. So, man, the local church is an amazing, amazing creation of God, and it's awesome. Now, we understand, of course, it's not all about what we can receive, right? But it's also about what we can supply, because they're not only personal destinies, but friends, there are corporate destinies. There are assignments on local churches. And so, once again, it's not all about what I can receive, although I do receive, but it's also what I can supply. I want you to notice over here in Exodus 31, verses 1 through 6, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "See, I've called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones, to set them and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And behold, I've given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishma, of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom." Now I want you to look at this. "That they may make all that I have commanded thee." Exodus 31 and verse 11. "And the anointing oil and the sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded thee, shall they do." Isn't that interesting? God said, "Moses, I'm giving you a commission, but simultaneously, I'm also equipping and gifting the individuals that will surround you with the talents and the resources and the gifts necessary to bring that vision into fruition." So I always say, when God calls a pastor and He sets them in a city, He simultaneously calls a people with the gifts, graces, resources, and abilities necessary to supply the vision of that house and also to bring it to full fruition. And you know, as I look around here tonight and I look at your campus and I look at your facilities, you know, it's obvious that you have been faithful to supply the vision of this house, not only financially, but in prayer, in service, in fellowship. And I just want to say congratulations, because that's just not always the case, you know? And I always tell people, listen, never let anyone or anything separate you from your God-appointed placement in the body of Christ, particularly as it pertains to the local church, because people can get offended, they get discouraged, they have their personal agendas, and many times they remove themselves from the very place that God has planted them, and sometimes we don't even realize the repercussions that can have long term. It's not manipulation, it's divine placement. And so all along my journey, I've been planted in churches, and I had plenty of opportunities at times to get disgruntled and leave, but I always planted my feet and said, "I'll never make decisions based on emotion. I will always make decisions based on the leading of the Spirit. And if you'll do that, you'll be in the right place at the right time with the right people doing the right thing, just like you're here tonight." Woo! And guess what? The best is yet to come. How do you know that, Brother Marty? Because the Bible tells me so. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. He said, "The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter until it reaches full strength at noonday." Our path as a believer is described in the Scripture as one that goes from glory to glory, faith to faith, strength to strength. Can you say amen? Well, quite naturally, if it would be God's divine intention for our personal lives as Christians to go from glory to glory, faith to faith, strength to strength, if He would have our paths grow brighter and brighter, then quite naturally that same divine intention would hold true where the corporate and collective body of Christ is concerned, and most specifically, the local church. So you're headed in the right direction. Amen. Your path is growing brighter and brighter. You're moving from glory to glory, strength to strength, faith to faith. I remember, I don't know how many years ago, we weren't in this facility. You were in some other building somewhere in the city. And I came to minister. And I remember waking up that morning, and up in my spirit came 1 Chronicles 4:10. Which was the prayer of Jabez. You remember that scripture? And the Bible says, Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that your hand would be with me," right? "And that, you know, that you would deliver me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted his request. And I came and I read that scripture. You remember? And I said, this has prophetic implication for you. God said he's going to enlarge your coasts. He's going to expand your territory. He is going to increase your influence. He's going to grant you favor. And his hand is going to rest mightily upon this place and upon this people. Well, dear Lord, look. I mean, look what's happened. And guess what? He's not finished yet. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. One translation says, everything has its appointed hour. I love that. And there are some things, friends, that are appointed to us as the body of Christ, personally and collectively. Now in this season, God is going to do some amazing things. Brother Jerry Savelle, how many of you ever heard of Jerry Savelle? You know, he's been in America, 40 years of ministry or more? You don't take everything that comes down the pike that someone says, but if they have a pretty proven ministry, you can put some stock in what they say. And he said that the Lord told him concerning 2018, that it would initiate a season in which the faithful, well, I can see you've been faithful, right? So you qualify. The faithful will flourish and abound. I love that word flourish, because by definition, flourish means to grow well, to thrive, to prosper, to enlarge, to increase. But now here's my favorite part. To enter a period of highest productivity, excellence, and influence. That's you. Somebody say, I'll take that. We're entering a period of highest productivity, excellence, and influence as a church, as a people, in this community, in this region, in the world. I really do have that kind of anticipation for you. And I'm really excited. God's been faithful. He will continue to be. And once again, the best is yet to come. So, as I was seeking God for this service, and I know you guys have already been hooping and hollering and running around this place, but I want to get on in on it too. You know what I'm saying? I like to get in on it. So it just seemed good to me and the Holy Ghost tonight that we should offer, and that's why I said the team was led in their song, His Praise Shall Ever Be On My Lips, that we should offer what we call the sacrifice of praise in here tonight. That, you know, let's reflect and rehearse the goodness of God to us as a people, as a church, what he's done for you in your family, in your personal life, maybe in your business, in your kids, you know, so forth. And as a church, just to call to mind his goodness and to celebrate that. So I just want to lay a little platform from the scripture. Is that okay? From which to operate. Yeah, I mean, you don't need to be taught here, but I just want to do it for good measure. Because you're already well taught. But in the Old Testament, you'll remember there was a priesthood from the tribe of Levi. And of course, it was the responsibility of the priesthood to offer the sacrifices in the temple that were required as ordinances of worship under the old covenant. There were daily sacrifices, weekly sacrifices, annual sacrifices, wave offerings, grain offerings. I mean, man, you name it, they had it. And of course, it was the responsibility of the priesthood to offer that. But what I want you to see tonight is in the New Testament dispensation, the institution of the priesthood still exists. How many of you know that? How do we know? Well, because the Bible tells us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Notice what the scripture says. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So in the New Testament dispensation, the institution of the priesthood quite naturally still exists. Now, we understand in the Old Testament there was a sin problem. So every year they had to offer the sin offering. And they would offer the blood of an animal in order to do that, to satisfy the claims of justice. Because, quite naturally, the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So God said, listen, I'm going to devise a temporary solution for the sin problem until I can send the ultimate solution. And this is what we'll do every year, once a year. The high priest will enter into the Holy of Holies. He will shed the blood of an innocent animal. He will sprinkle that blood upon the altar in the mercy seat. And I will receive that as payment, because the wages or the payment necessary for sin is death. I'll receive that as payment for the sins of the people for 1 year. We'll do it every year on the Day of Atonement until the final solution can come, which, praise God, He did. She shall bring forth a son, shall call His name Jesus. He will save His people from their sin. How? By shedding His own blood on the altar of the cross, eternally purging the sins of everyone that will receive the sacrifice. How many of you have received that sacrifice? Woo! Hebrews, 12:9 or somewhere around in there? Not by the blood of bulls or goats, right? 9:12, neither by the blood of bulls or goats, but by His own blood. He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Woo. So that particular sacrifice never has to be offered again. And yet, here we are. We're in the New Testament dispensation. We are the New Testament priesthood as the sons and daughters of God. And there are still sacrifices that are required to be offered by the priesthood as ordinances of worship under the new covenant. What are they? Well, the Bible tells us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. It's not the blood of bulls, goats, pigeons, or doves. What is it? Right here. Ye as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, yes. A holy priesthood, yes. To offer up what kind of sacrifices? Spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So the sacrifices that you and I are to offer are spiritual in nature and origin. And the Bible tells us exactly what those sacrifices consist of. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 is one of them. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So one of the sacrifices that we're to offer is our lives, our bodies, moment by moment, day by day. Right? I love the Message Bible of that. It says, here's what I want you to do, God helping you. I want you to take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life. And I want you to place it before me as an offering. Now listen, and don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. So one of these sacrifices, I always tell people, worship is not an event. It is a lifestyle. From the moment we open our eyes in the morning till the time we lay our head down at night, our lives are to be lived in worship and communion and honor of God, right? We may come to worship, but worship is not an event, right? So that's one of them, but that's not my point tonight. The one we want to emphasize, and you already have, but we're going to revisit it, is in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. It says, by him, by Jesus Christ, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of what? Praise to God. How long? Continually. And aren't you glad the Bible doesn't leave it vague? Let's offer the sacrifice of praise that is, just like they sang about, the fruit of our lips giving thanks unto his name. Now listen, the New Testament sacrifice of praise requires the expression of the heart in thanksgiving to God through the lips or the mouth. That part of praise cannot be left undone. Because he said the sacrifice of praise is the fruit of our lips giving thanks unto his name. Now, sometimes in our societies, we like to just kind of substitute an external action for an internal response because it's easier. Now, I'm not against the external responses, but let's don't leave the other undone. Amen. Woo! I'm getting ready to praise in here. I'm just laying a little groundwork. Psalm 34 and verse 1. Notice, talking about lips and mouth, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be where? In my mouth. Here's another one. Psalm 71 verse 8. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise. 71:8. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thine honor all the day. Everybody say my mouth. So, praise involves the mouth, right? Now, I'll just give you, I taught Bible school, so I did a little research here and there. And the word praise in the Hebrew, it kind of comes from actually five different meanings that kind of culminate to give us the entire sphere of what praise actually consists of. And so the first one is, praise means to shine. Shine. So that has something to do with your countenance. You cannot praise God with an old mully grub face. Well, hallelujah. Is he good? Yeah, he's good. I don't believe you. Right? It means to shine. Then it means to make a show. Somebody say make a show. I know some of you already been doing that. But you know, that just tells you there's something about praise that you can see. There's some kind of demonstration going on. Whoa, to make a show. So, to shine, sometimes people say, oh, they're just putting on a show. That's scriptural. Make a show. Shine, make a show. Here's the next definition. What is it? To boast. To boast. What does that mean? Man, just to talk about how awesome you are, Father. How great, how amazing, how faithful you are. Woo, you just begin to boast in him. Tell everybody how amazing he is. To shine, to make a show, to boast. Now, I know you know the next one. This is the fourth one. It means to celebrate. Somebody open this for me. Will you? Can you? To celebrate. Somebody say celebrate. Now, how many of you are sports fans? Anybody? Some of you? You know how it is. You go to a football game, you go to a baseball game, basketball game, and I mean your team makes a goal or a touchdown. I mean, if you are a fan, you don't sit there and say, well, isn't that wonderful, Martha? They made a touchdown. No. If you are a fan and your team makes a touchdown, man, you're jumping up and down. You're running around. And guess what? Nobody thinks anything about it. Why? Oh, man, they're just a fan. They are a fan. They're a fanatic. It's normal behavior for a fan. But the same people will come to church and they'll say, well, that's just a bunch of nonsense and emotionalism. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus did a lot more than take a bag of wind down the field. He saved us. He redeemed us. And guess what? I'm a fan. And I don't mind getting a little happy about it. A little excited about it. Making a show. It's all right. In its time and place. And this is a time and place to shine. Make a show. Boast. Celebrate. And then the last meaning is, once again, to commend or speak favorably of. There's your mouth. Thank you, Lord. Commending. Thank you that you made me a new creation in Christ. Thank you that you delivered me from the power of darkness and translated me into the kingdom of your dear Son. Thank you that you raised me up and made me sit with you in heavenly places. Thank you, Lord, that I can do all things through you. Thank you. Commending. Thanksgiving, right? Now, the Greek definition is very simply the genuine, that would mean heartfelt, the genuine confession, there's your mouth again, the genuine confession of facts in one's life that brings glory to God. So that means what he's done for you personally, when he saved you and turned your life around, when he delivered you from drug addiction and alcohol and depression and saved your marriage or got you through a bad situation or helped your kids or gave you the job you never thought you'd have or helped you get in that house or keep it when they tried to take it from you, whatever. You know what I'm saying? What he's done for you and how good he's been to you and thanking him for it. And giving him thanks for it. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 16:34, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. I heard Philip said something. He likes the O's. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? Well, because he's good. And his mercy endures forever. Psalm 92 in verse 1, I'll just give you some good scriptures. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. And here's one I want to leave with you. Psalm 35, verse 28. It says, my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day. But now here's another translation I like. It says, I will tell everyone how great and how good you are. I'll tell everybody how great and good you are. I will praise you all day long. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So here's what we're going to do tonight, just continuing the celebration. All right? Because like I said, I want to get in on it, and I just got here. I can't let Philip have all the fun. So here's what we're going to do. In a moment, we're going to stand up in this house in a moment, and then I'm going to count to three, and when I do, we're going to give God a shout of praise. Now, you say, why are you going to shout? Well, he likes it, and if he likes it, I like it, right? How do you know he likes it? Because I read the Old Testament. And every battle plan, if you read these stories in the Old Testament, if it's Joshua and the Battle of Jericho, if it's Gideon and the Midianites or Israel and the Philistines, God would always tell them, hey, I want you to do this, 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 and then shout. Okay. And every time they would follow the instructions and shout, walls fell down, enemies killed each other. I mean, he put some confusion in the enemy's camp. Things started happening. So he must like it. So we're going to give him a shout of praise. You may never have shouted if you're visiting in your life. Now's your chance. As our buddy used to say, Daryl, he said, for the tough stains, you got to shout it out. Right? So we're going to give God a shout. Why? We're going to shout a shout of praise, thanking him for all that he has done for us as a church, as a people, up to this point, all he has done, all he is doing, amen? And then after we shout a little bit, now here's where you come in, because this is a celebration. I understand that many of you have written testimonies and they compiled a book, but you know, there's something about giving God praise for something he's done in your life publicly that... Actually, scriptural, you're offering what? As an individual, you're offering a sacrifice of praise. But also your testimony encourages other people in their place in life. So after we shout, I'm going to ask different ones of you as your heart prompts you to come up here. Now, they're going to have two ushers. I'll have a few on this side. Then I want a couple of people on this side. And I'll motion you up. And you come tell us something good God has done for you. Has anybody in this room ever been healed? I mean really healed. Raise your hand if you ever been healed. All right, sitting right here. Gotcha. Okay. So, been healed. If he turned your life around, if he delivered you from, like we said, depression or oppression or whatever he's done. If being in this church, under this word, has blessed your life or helped you or done anything that you want to give God praise for, I want you to come tell us. Now, I'll say this as nicely as I can. I don't want your latest revelation from the scripture, right? Now, everybody listen, because inevitably you have someone. I don't want a mini sermon, all right? This is headlines. Everybody say headlines. No fine print. Headlines. Why? Because we want to keep the momentum going. See what I'm saying? So this will be headlines. You come give us a short, concise praise of something God has done for you. And when you do, see, this is praise time. When you do, we are going to celebrate with you. We're going to make a show. You say, what's that look like? I'll be demonstrating. We're going to get happy. We're going to celebrate the goodness of God in this house. Now, it's going to take somebody being bold to get up here and say what God's done for you. And I'll be holding the microphone in case I have to take it away. No, I'm just kidding. I've learned, don't let go of the mic because you may not get it back. I mean, we're going to praise God in here. And I want some of you guys to testify too. And so we'll shout in the beginning. I'll take some testimonies. And then we're going to give one final praise. And we're going to give that praise with specific intention. How many of you know that there's power in praise? And so I've often heard it said, and Lillian B. Omans actually wrote this. She said, praise hastens victory. Praise hastens victory. I've also heard it said that your celebration and my celebration is a demonstration of my faith in the fact God has heard my prayer and the answer's on the way. Sometimes you praise God in advance, so to speak, before you see the manifestation of what you've asked or believed for. How many of you got some dreams? We've got some things that we need to finish up here. We're going to praise God in advance, our final praise, as an act of faith that we know he's heard our prayers. You've stood, you've believed, you've confessed. There's nothing left to do but to praise him for it. Right? Now, it's not emotionalism, friends. God inhabits what? The praises of his people. That means it needs to come out of the heart. And when we do, God comes on the scene. And when God comes on the scene, things happen. You've read Acts 16, 25 and 26. Paul and Silas were in prison at midnight, right? And what did they do? Put that up there for them. Acts 16, 25 and 26. At midnight, Paul and Silas were in prison. And what did they do? Did they bawl and squall? No. They sang praises unto God in a little tiny voice so that they wouldn't want to disturb anyone. No, man. Everybody in the prison heard them. And what I love about that, when they got bold with their praise, it says suddenly there was a great earthquake. I mean, things can change. And also what I love, not only were their prison doors open and their chains loosed, but everybody in the house. We get that atmosphere of praise in here. And I tell you, if you came in kind of low from the day, you'd leave high. The chains off. The prison doors open. All right. Are you ready? Y'all ready to praise God? I know you've already praised him every night. But I just, like I said, I want to get in on it. Somebody come in, come help me move this podium, please. Move it back. Give me some dancing room. Hallelujah. Thank you, fellas. All right, are you ready? Everybody stand up in here. Now, don't make me shout by myself. I will, but I'd rather not. I'm going to turn this just a little bit so I can stand in the middle and still hear it. All right, are you ready? What are we going to do, Brother Marty? We're fixing to praise God. We're going to shout some walls down. Right? We're going to glorify God for the good things he's done for us. Then I'm going to have several of you come and testify, and then we're going to give a shout, final praise. Are you ready? Yes. Now, you got something you're going to praise him for right now as we shout? He's been good to us, hadn't he? Yes. Hadn't he been faithful? Yes. As a church, as a people? Absolutely. Are you ready? Yes. 1, 2, 3.
We hope you're inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org. Check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWallMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know him so you too can make him known.